Born in the pandemic era, thriving in the Zoom era, it's Resonance Rewind.
Keep clear!
This is Caractacus Potts, inventor extraordinaire. Caractacus had a dream. He believed man could fly. At first, it was hard getting his dream off the ground. But Caractacus had faith. And a beautiful sweetheart. Two charming kids. And an adventurous grandfather.
Hold out, starboard out, push with a capital P-O-S-H, push.
Then Caractacus invented a fantastic magical car. It floats, it flies, and it carries adventure wherever it goes. It took them to castles and palaces and to far-off lands known only in lullabies.
And watch your boat from harsh by mountain sail far away from lullaby bay.
And oh, I want it.
It also took them into the clutches of the nasty Baron Bombburst, who ruled over the evil kingdom of Vulgaria, where children were imprisoned and happiness was a crime. And the only thing that could save them was laughter and music.
Sweet, sweet, a bomb on to blow on a cloud has been found.
Never before has there been such a gallery of marvelous characters. Dick Van Dyke as Caractacus Potts. Sally Ann Howes as Truly Scrumptious. Lionel Jeffries as Grandpa Potts. Gert Frobe as the nasty Baron Bombburst. Anna Quayle. James Robertson Justice. Benny Hill. Robert Helpman. And Heather Ripley and Adrian Hall as the children.
Hey! Go down! And one, two, three,
never before has there ever been such a magical musical entertainment as Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Hi, Chitty, no Chitty, anywhere we go.
Continuous performances at popular prices. Direct from its reserved seat presentation.
Bang, 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 chitty, chitty, bang, bang.
Sherman Brothers, certainly known to the world for some of the best Disney musical classics ever, and it is indeed the focus of Resonance Rewinds, the musicals, as indeed Pamela Sue Mann and the team will actually work our way through this. Pamela, let's turn to you first before we turn to Tessa Snart and Anna Koskinen. Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, what are your thoughts?
Magical. Absolutely magical. Yeah, it took me a while to shut off my judgmental filter, which I have developed over the years. And I was about a quarter away, maybe a 16th of the way through, because it was a very long film, including the intermission. But I had to just shut off those little voices, like, you know, picking at it. And I was like, stop, you know, this is really superbly magical. I thought what was really funny was I was going, you know, I guess Dick Van Dyke could have gotten away with the fact that he was the only one that had the American accent. But then as I did some more research, I realized that he was, as my daughter says, he was clowned so bad for his bad accent. I think his vocal coach was Irish on Mary Poppins. So he refused to do any sort of attempt at an accent outside of his own. So fair play to him. Now that I know that, it's all good. It was incredible.
In addition to that, I believe he was smoking 40 cigarettes a day and was also told by his doctor at the time that effectively he would basically have a body full of arthritis and within 5 years wouldn't be able to get around at all without using a cane or a wheelchair. Interesting enough, 92-year-old Dick Van Dyke danced in Mary Poppins Returns without any challenges from that particular perspective. So again, it just goes to show.
It's amazing. It's amazing. He's still alive.
Absolutely. And hopefully he's got a few more years yet. Obviously, it was Arthur Weingarten who also was a big fan of the Sherman Brothers and some of their wonderful music that came across in this particular aspect. And let's jump straight away to Jessica Burtis, because Jessica, as the recent recipient of the Arthur Weingarten Contributor of the Year Award for the second year running, any thoughts on Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, the musical?
What makes the battle worth the fighting? What makes the mountain worth the climb? What makes the questions worth the asking? The reason worth the rhyme? To me, the answer's clear. It's having someone near, someone dear. Someone to care for, to be there for. I have you too. Someone to do for, muddle through for. I have you too. Someone to share joy or despair with, whichever betides you. Life becomes a chore unless you're living for someone to tend to, be a friend to. I have you too. Someone to strive for, do or die for. I have you too. Could be we three get along so famously, 'cause you two have me and I have you too. I have you too.
Someone to do for, muddle through for.
I have you too. Someone to smile once in a while with, whenever you're lonesome. I've a happy lot, considering what I've got. But I couldn't do more than you do for your poor father. Things go asunder, and I wonder why you bother.
Could be we three get along so famously, 'cause we two have you,
and I have you too.
So I actually, as a child, was absolutely obsessed with this movie, to the point where when I was three, I don't remember this, but apparently when I was three, I woke my mom up in the middle of the night demanding to go watch Chitty Chitty Bang Bang for some reason. It was like 3 a.m. So I remember as a kid just loving this movie. And it was many years before I rewatched it, and really was so, I feel like I had blocked out so much of the plot and so much of what happened, but getting to rewatch it again, it's such a, I see why kids like it, or why I liked it so much as a kid, because it is just a very over the top, crazy kind of movie, but it's so fun and heartwarming, and it's so genuine. And I think it's hard to find something like it. And I feel like it's very unique.
1968, of course, when it first emerged. I actually did see it first time around in the Odeon Cinema Stockton, and indeed appreciated the intermission. And of course, was scared, not quite witless, but certainly quite frightened by the child catcher. And of course, that put me off Sweets for Life, as you might imagine. Tessa Snart, you haven't seen it for quite some time, but again, what are your thoughts on Chitty Chitty Bang Bang?
Oh, well, it's timeless, isn't it? It was definitely a childhood favourite of mine, and we always had it on the TV when it come on the TV at kind of like Christmas time, just after Christmas when you're off and there's all those different films on. The child catcher really did scare me as well. He really frightens me. And to be honest, he still does today. I was watching just to kind of remind myself, I went onto YouTube and I watched, I think it was the making of Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, and it was kind of them as they are now, but talking about, you know, the filming and behind the scenes. And I just saw an image of the child catcher, and apparently he's a really lovely man, the actor, or was he a ballerina? Did I hear prior to being an actor? I'm not sure, but
he had some moves for sure.
Yeah, he did, didn't he? But no, like you said, Pamela, a magical program, and like Jessica, I was sort of in awe of it growing up. So brilliant film.
That's Robert Helpman, the child catcher, who certainly echoes his whole sister within that. We'll be talking about favourite musical pieces, of course, as the programme proceeds. But I still actually have a smile when we have the reveal by Grandpa Potts. I'll tell you something. I got up this morning and I shot an elephant in my pyjamas. How he ever got into my pyjamas, I shall never know. Just the way I liked it. Anna Koskinol, not too far away from the fictional kingdom of Bulgaria, clearly from that point of view, but obviously a sort of totalitarian state that we have with Baron Bombast and company. What were your thoughts on Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, and had you seen it before?
Well, to everyone's surprise, I know it from my mom. She apparently seen it, but not when she was little. She's watched it, I think, in her 30s, I think. And I remember when I was like, before I was 7 or 8, and we have a cinema that plays old movies, and especially black and white movies and all sorts of kind that you can't really find nowadays. And she took me there and we watched it. So yeah, I remember it from when I was like really young. But when you sent me the invite link, I did not remember it at first. And then I searched it online, I had the look, and I was like, oh my God, I know this one.
So clearly connecting. And does it still resonate with you, Anna? Did you still feel that the actual story, which has got an awful lot of James Bond elements in it? I mean, not only have we got Desmond Llewellyn as Q in the early pieces of the whole piece, Ken Adam, who designed the sets, he very much has his imprint on the whole thing. And of course, it was the only children's book Ian Fleming, the creator of James Bond, ever wrote.
Wait. I don't know if so much resonates, but makes me remember how was I feeling when I was little and watching it and feeling like everything is possible and I can do everything. You know, that feeling you get when you're inside the cinema and you see something and you just believe like, now this is my life, or this is going to be my personality for the next, I don't know how many months. So yeah, whenever I can see that, I remember this and it resonates to me. Through this makes me remember my childhood for a little and a bit of my personality.
Adrian Hall, of course, who played one of the children, Jeremy, went on to marry Barbara Ward, and indeed they spent part of their honeymoon actually, probably for their sins, basically, doing a radio broadcast-a-thon with me and a whole stack of other people, including Graham Harper, back in the days of Dulwich Radio. Adrian, I think, has since moved on to do various other things in the the kind of publicity industry. Heather Ripley, who played Jemima, of course, is now a dentist. So clearly, again, worked a whole range of things through that particular side of things. Jessica, the story obviously unfolds at quite a pace, and it is quite a long story, which obviously starts off with that opening sequence of the car and how it basically comes to the end. It's kind of found in the junkyard, etc. And then, of course, there's the plea for Caractacus Potts to effectively raise some money to do that. He produces the Toot Sweets, which seem to be going very well until, of course, they have an unfortunate effect with respect to dogs. Which sequences particularly stand out for you, Jessica, as memorable moments? And was it a case of you always wanted to seek out the old bamboo?
I think, well, I would love to, I think for myself as a kid, I really liked the scene when they first met and Truly was in the water. And I thought that scene was so funny. But I think when I watched it later, I actually watched it with a group of friends in college, and it was just, it felt, I felt like the movie must be kind of what it's like on an acid trip or something, with all of the plot points just all over the place. And it was kind of overwhelming at first, because I feel like if you just watch it, I don't know, thinking it's going to be a very serious thing, or I don't know, something like Mary Poppins, that's, I don't know, it just feels very different. The fantasy in this feels very different. It feels completely, it's not grounded. It feels a lot more whimsical than I think most other fantasy films. Or I guess the story, so, but you know what I mean. But I think that the scenes end up pulling together so well, and I don't think it would work as well if it wasn't a musical. I think it's essential to the every number in this. The scenes, they just tie together so much. And I think watching it now, I actually appreciate it a lot more. And I think, I mean, the child catcher scene is, I think, one of the most dramatic ones. And yeah, it terrified me. He terrified me as a kid so bad that I still don't like to watch the scenes with the child catcher. Actually, yeah, it's a little scary. But I think that the scenes that he was in are actually so good, and they're some of the best in the film. But also the scene with the where she's the music box and they've snuck into the castle, I think that's one of the most beautiful scenes. And I, because it was one of the ones that I found the strangest when I rewatched it, but then when I rewatched it again for this, it really made me appreciate it so much and see how beautiful those scenes are.
Yeah, certainly the choreography of Sally Ann Howes and Dick Van Dyke, where they play the two apparent puppets and wind-up dolls, I think is pretty outstanding. Of course, Stanley Unwin, who plays the Chancellor, we'd already encountered on Resonance Rewind, because he, of course, was the voice of the vicar in Secret Service. And indeed, he was the vicar in Secret Service, so he clearly sort of moved on from that side of things as well. Pamela, I mean, I found the choreography in this outstanding. I found the whole range of things working through it. Any scenes for yourself that stood out particularly?
I always loved that Monty Python movie moment. I always loved the two pipes, the drain pipes, the guys coming out of the water. And I thought it was so, that was silliness.
The two foreign spies, the Bulgarian spies who became English gentlemen.
I'm telling you, that was, I think, the height of silliness in anything I've ever watched in my entire life, including moments from the early Muppets, where there were some really great song and dance skits with pieces of pipe that blew each other up. This was really, I remember that standing out again and again, and I would just see them popping out of the water and I would start breaking out in laughter. I was trying to think of that beautiful song, the lullaby.
Hushabye Mountain.
Thank you. Hushabye Mountain, such a beautiful song. I mean, the interesting thing is that it's just like an old album where they used to have arrangers come in, and there was an actual arranger that was hired by the label to come in and arrange, make a whole arrangement of a song, which, you know, doesn't occur on the same scale anymore. And I feel that The singing, the dancing, the choreography, the acting, the comic moments, the like Jessica was saying about that beautiful scene when she's doing she's doing that, and then the two of them, and there's that comedy. It's just everything's done on such incredibly high level. The actors involved were definitely skilled in every sort of acting you could imagine. I mean, in terms of like the pantomime and the over the top and the dance, and it was like everybody had to be a triple threat or something, and they could all sing and dance and act. So it was highly, highly, highly entertaining. I mean, vulgar, like certain things they kind of went there. Even having Benny Hill, my God, Benny Hill as a toy maker. I mean, they're just doing whatever they wanted to do and indulging their fancy. And I think in this day of woke, perhaps they wouldn't get away with some of this stuff. But I just think that it was of its time, perfection. Just and a flying car. Come on. Who would not want to be in a car, a beautiful Victorian, slightly steampunk-ish car that goes up into the air, and without any kind of blockage of ears, everyone's singing, everyone's happy. I want to be there. I don't know about you guys, but I would love for my Christmas gift to be that, I would wake up the day after Christmas and I would be in the Chitty Chitty Bang Bang car soaring off into heaven.
It's the one interesting aspect that for me, I always thought, in a sense, was initially a bit of a cop out. That, of course, the whole flying car aspect is part of a narrative. It's a dream structure that effectively the children are being told as a fairy tale by their inventor father, Caractacus Potts. And it's not really until like the kind of final denouement of the sequence where we see it again, flying again on that basis. Of course, the fact that the registration number of the car is GENII, as in genie, I think obviously sends up the magical thing just a couple of stages further forward. Tessa, what sequences or scenes from yourself
Yeah.
were sort of key aspects?
Well, I was going to say again, I love the dancing on the box. And again, watching that, the making of the movie, apparently, truly, or the actress that played her did that in one take, which I was quite amazed at. They said, which is, and she wasn't a dancer, was she? I think just an actress, so she didn't do a lot of dancing. So that's amazing. And I love the outfits and the makeup. I remember a scene in the toy shop, though, where they were trying to hide. That really had me on edge. And it's one, because I haven't watched it in a while. And as you've been talking, it kind of brought back memories of that. And again, the child catcher. But it took a while for them to be caught. Did they ever actually get the children get caught in the end by the child catcher? I can't
They
remember. Did they
did.
get
They did. They
they
were
did.
tempted
Oh.
by sweets, which weren't sweets before they were jailed. And of course, that was the basis of the rescue that Caractacus and Truly Scrumptious had to actually
That was
do
it.
to work through the process. But
And
again,
it's
interesting
kind
trip
of.
from that.
It's a good lesson, isn't it? Because we're all taught to not take sweets off of a stranger. So it's a great lesson.
Yep.
Scary one, though.
It certainly sort of impacted my own sort of aspect from that. Anna, what about your favourite scenes and sequences? I mean, is it a case of Sally Ann Howes? Sally passed away just a couple of years ago in 2021. Is it her dancing, her routines, or is it a case of no? Let's give a mention for Lionel Potts, the grandfather, who of course had the classic line of "Up from the ashes grow the roses of success."
Well, I'd say when I was little, I'd say the candy factory scene with getting covered in toffee. That to me was really funny, and it made me want to do that because who doesn't want to eat candy all day long and be covered in it, at least as a child? But now thinking about it, I think the scene with the Grand Prix, because in the last couple of years, I started watching Formula One, so I can say that I've grown up. So now I like more grown-up things. But what I wanted to say was that from Aladdin, that was like flying on his magic carpet to coming here to flying in a magic car, I think that's a really good upgrade. That's really good.
Works very well. Okay, Jessica, favorite characters, please. Which souls actually stand out for yourself, or indeed, favorite song?
Oh, okay. I think I don't like the child catcher care as a character. Just he's not my favorite, but as a character, I think he's excellent. But I think I love them all. But I think truly, I think as I've gotten older, especially she's become my favorite character now. I think as a kid it would have been Jemima, but as an adult now, I'm saying it's truly. I think for my favorite song, it would be the, is it U2? Is that what the song's called at the
Yeah.
beginning? Yeah, I think that's, it's just such a sweet scene with the dad and his two kids, and it just feels so, it's just so precious. But Toot Sweets is also really good.
Yeah, U2, Toot Sweet, Sacha Boey Mountain, the old Bamboo, of course, Truly Scrumptious. I quite like Lovely Lonely Man as well, as delivered by Sally Ann Howes. I think that sort of was quite phenomenal. Again, the Sherman Brothers, probably impossible to really make a selection because, of course, they had produced stuff for The Jungle Book, Mary Poppins, and heaps of other scenarios. We haven't really mentioned, of course, Baron Bombast and the other James Bond connection, Gert Frobe, who played Baron Bombast, of course, was the villain Goldfinger in the third of the Sean Connery James Bond movies. Pamela, favourite characters, favourite songs?
Toot sweet sound like what they are. So do lollies in a lollipop jar. Gingerbread men have a gingerbread sound. We found sugar, plum, cinnamon, and lemon tart. Tell you what they are right from the start. And your name does the same for you. By coincidence, truly scrumptious. You're truly, truly scrumptious. Scrumptious as a cherry peach parfait.
Jemima, I just loved her. If I could have been her as a little girl, I would have been. She was just, I couldn't take my eyes off of her. She was just like the perfect little girl. She was so sweet and spunky, and she was like big as your pinky, but she had so much chutzpah, you know? And then of course, truly, because she did, let's face it, she made Caratacus the better man. You know, she was his conscience. He was in there and he was just thinking of his children, and she's like, well, you know, are you going to save these kids? They're people too. And then he did, and then he was, you know, devised a plot, but that was really urged by her. She made him a better person, a better man. I like Hush by Mountain, which is so sweet. And
a gentle breeze from Hushabye Mountain softly blows o'er Lullaby Bay. It fills the sails of boats that are waiting, waiting to sail your worries away. It isn't far to Hushabye Mountain, and your boat waits down by the quay. The winds of night so softly are sighing, soon they will fly your troubles to sea. So close your eyes on Hushabye Mountain. Wave goodbye to cares of the day, and watch your boat from Hushabye Mountain sail far away from Lullaby.
The, you know, the dancing in the candy factory, and then the dogs coming in, such cacophony. And you know, I'm a true sucker for Victorian magic. You know, let's face it, is there's nothing better. So I think I just gave you way too many scenes and way too many songs. I mean, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, come on, it's so good. I wonder where that came from, or the cargo, like, where did that, I probably need to see that movie, Tessa, to find out, because probably all that is in there. But
yeah.
Did I answer your question?
Yeah, okay. I mean, the only one you didn't really talk about, which again, I thought was phenomenal in terms of energy and drive and general style, was of course the old bamboo sequence in the fairground environment, where of course Caractacus is being chased by Arthur Mullard, another legend of British stage and screen, and of course the late Barbara Windsor, when obviously his hair cutting device had gone completely wrong. I can sympathize. I know exactly what he's talking about.
A gentleman's got a walking stick, a seaman's got a gap, and the merry men of Robin Hood, they used a quarterstaff. On the Spanish plains inside their caves, they hide their ruddy swords. What we may do with an old bamboo, and everyone applauds. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. The old bamboo, the old bamboo, you better never mess with the old bamboo. You can have me after me, I'm with you, but you better never mess with the old bamboo.
A sturdy pole
to protect their fair complexion.
Ladies use a parasol.
It's useful in the underbrush
to have a hefty spear.
Right, but what we do with an old bamboo makes everybody cheer. One, two, three, four. The old bamboo, the old bamboo. You better never bother with the old bamboo. You have me at only one for shoe, but you better never bother with the old bamboo.
Have a go, mate.
A flyer in an aerial plane.
He steers it with a stick.
He does. A collier in the pits of Wales.
He leans upon his face.
That's right.
Now if we wheel on the field, we bolt around the shrub.
Hey!
But what we do with the old bamboo makes everyone
go daft.
And in one, two, the old bamboo, the old bamboo. You better never bother with the old bamboo. You can have me half of your bumper shoe, but you better never bother with the old bamboo.
Tessa, what about your favourite characters and scenes?
It's so difficult to choose, isn't it? Because they all stand out for their own reasons. I think I agree again, Pamela, with you. I do particularly like Truly. I like watching her act and her dancing and singing and all of that. My particular favourite scene is when they're on the beach, when Truly's with the two children and they sing Truly Scrumptious. And it just gives off Mary Poppins vibes, doesn't it? In the sound of music and their harmonies. And I think it's lovely. And then again, I do love the Chitty Chitty Bang Bang soundtrack. And the children harmonise really well on that, I think, don't they, with Dick Van Dyke. So, yeah, it's one of those films. I find it really difficult to choose. But Truly, yeah, for me.
Yeah. Still to mention, of course, in terms of characters, James Robertson Justice, much beloved, very traditional character. And indeed, epitomising in so many ways, I suppose, a side of British Empire, really, which, of course, he connects with Lionel Jeffries' character as his former Batman, and James Robertson Justice as the Brigadier, and, of course, the somewhat curmudgeonly, I think the best phrase to describe, Lord Scrumptious, Truly's father, of course, and the owner of the Scrumptious Fruit, or indeed a sweet factory, that clearly does have a part to play in the subsequent success story and the happy ending, of course, of the Caractacus Potts tale. Although, having said that, there is a sense that, you know, maybe there was a moment, I don't know if you got this, Anna, at the end, where it almost seemed as though there wasn't going to be a happy ending, that effectively, you know, there was a traditional British class divide, and Caractacus realised that he wasn't in the same league as Truly, and much as he liked her, ultimately he just had to get on with his own life, and so on. But anyway, Anna, favourite scenes and characters for yourself?
Favourite characters? I think I will go with the grandpa, because he's so loving and he's sweet. And to be honest, in every movie where there are grandparents, I always choose the grandparents, because they, I don't know, they always remind me of mine, and I just know that I miss them all the time.
This is livid! This is style! This is elegance by the mile! Oh, the posh, posh, travelling life, the travelling life for me. First cabin and captain's table, regal company. Whenever I'm bored, I travel abroad, but ever so properly. Forward out, starboard out, posh with a capital P-O-S-H, posh. The hands that hold the scepters, every head that owns a crown, they'll always give their all for me, they'll never let me down. I'm on my way to far away, ta-ta toodaloo, and fare thee well, and bon voyage, arrivederci too. Oh, the posh, posh, travelling life, the travelling life for me. First a cabin, a captain's table, regal company. Pardon the dust of the upper crust. Fetch us a cup of tea. Pour out, starboard out, posh with a capital P. O-S-H, posh. In every foreign strand I land, the royal trumpets toot me. The royal welcome mat is out, they 21 guns salute me. But monarchies are constantly commanding me to call. Last month I missed a mufti. Well, you can't oblige them all. Oh, the posh, posh, the tempting life for me. Hop up at your tumpty di 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 di. The travelling life for me. must carry the captain's fable, regal company. When I'm at the helm, the world's my realm, and I do it stylishly. Port out, starboard ho, horse with a capital P, O-S-H. P-O-S-H, P-O-S-H, Bosh.
So, him, that's for sure. And the scenes, the songs, probably the one from the Candy Factory, Too Sweet. That's the one, right? Yeah, that one. And the overall soundtrack of the movie, the Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, that's so fun. I don't know, it reminds you of childhood and makes you want to, I don't know, move around and spin and be a bit silly and just have fun. So I guess this one's.
Which we clearly do need to actually have that whole essence of engaging with our inner child. Jessica, any other sort of aspects you'd like to draw upon and actually say, yeah, I mean, because I get the feeling we're all pretty much in agreement that this is a magical musical for the whole year, not just the festive period. But anything that you'd like to add?
I honestly think that the sets and the costumes felt very dreamlike. I think that they were done so well. And I think the use of Neuschwanstein Castle was so iconic for the fairy tale aspect of it. It just felt very fantastical and it felt like dreamlike. That's the only way I can think of with the house and, you know, his inventions. And I think Trulli's costumes with the beautiful sheer lip. Her hat and her dress, and I think that just the visuals in this are so wonderful, and it's not peaceful, it kind of keeps you a little bit on edge. It's so colorful and bright, but it's also, I don't know, it just feels very cozy and very home-like, you know.
Probably the ideal movie to offset the Vietnam War, which was taking place at the same time in America, obviously in Vietnam. So we obviously do need to have that level of escapism in movies, which maybe, as Pamela, you've also said, this the notion that, yeah, there are certain elements, certainly the homicidal Baron Bombast with respect to his wife and the little chuchy face and areas within that might be viewed as somewhat sort of sceptical. Obviously, her complete dislike of any children whatsoever and these scary children who actually emerge in the whole system. But again, looking to yourself, Pamela, any sort of other things you'd like to add before we start beginning to quantify our scores for Chitty Chitty Bang Bang?
Well, I was researching ever so briefly. There was some kind of comparison made to the anti-Semitic sort of situation with the children being captive. And like, I don't know if you can speak to that, Alex, but that was a little bit like, oh my goodness, I've never really read so much about the subversive nature or as an academic trying to unpack Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. And part of me feels like I don't want to, you know. Honestly, there was something so magical about Disney. And even though, again, like the Grimm's fairy tales are the Grimm's fairy tales, and to Disneyfy things can be kind of a dirty word, you know, but honestly, there was a kind of magic, and I think all of us present here felt that. And when you can give that magic to a child, and it's timeless, no matter what decade you were when you watched this, something like this coming out, there was something that was just magical, and Disney kind of brought it in and really, really gave it to the child. You know, I mean, that is a certain beautiful kind of alchemy of giving children magic, the belief in magic, the suspended disbelief, and just... I think all of us here kind of just went right back to that when we watched it. And that's the greatest gift you can give someone, right?
Although it's fair to say this was a Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer production, not a Disney production.
I know, but I don't know about you guys. I put it in there with Disney, sorry.
Yeah, well, again, same year more or less. Well, actually, a couple of years after Jungle Book, and obviously a couple of years after Mary Poppins, which was Disney. Tessa, what about yourself? I mean, is this going to encourage you to rewatch the thing and see it in its entirety once again?
Definitely. I mean, we can watch it whenever now, can't we? But I hope it's on TV so I can just watch it in real time again. But it's very much like The Wizard of Oz, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. It is so magical. And I think, like you were saying again, Pamela, I think whatever decade you were from, even children of today, it'd be great to get them to watch it because there's not actually a flying car, is there, that exists even of today. So, it's still really magical.
Well, Pamela still believes it's real, and I'm sure if she believes it or she really is real. There was one particular sequence we haven't alluded to, which I thought was really deeply if affecting, and that was actually in the underground sequence under the castle, where Caractacus Potts, played by Dick Van Dyke, is actually singing Hushabye Mountain, and he gets part of the way, and he clearly is choked up because he realizes that he's got all of these children, and he's looking for his own two children. And then basically, it's the time when Sally Ann Howes, effectively her character, Truly Scrumptious, picks up the lyric again. And I think that worked really well. I still think that kind of is quite an emotional thing. And even just watching it early today, it was one of those moments where I thought, yeah, that still works in terms of the way in which the two combined for that purpose.
A gentle breeze from Hushabye Mountain softly blows o'er Lullaby Bay. It fills the sails of boats that are waiting, waiting to sail your worries away.
Who cares of the day, and watch your boat from Hushabye Mountain sail far away from Lullaby Bay.
Anna, what will your score out of 10 be for Chitty Chitty Bang Bang?
Be honest, 10, because it just brought back all the memories and the nostalgia and everything. It's just really good.
Just as well we didn't go for Rocky Horror Picture Show, which of course is the next Residents Rewind musical thing that we're picking up, which is a whole new aspect. Perhaps not so much charm there, but a few interesting things, including Frankenfurter. Jessica, what about your score?
I have to agree. It's a 10. It's just, I can't find any faults. It's just fabulous. I see why my 3-year-old self desperately needed to watch it in the middle of the night. I don't know.
Well, I mean, clearly it could have led with respect to Toot Sweets to your almost obsession with sweet tea and driving that throughout
The
the music feature. Yeah, that might be at some deep-rooted psychological level why you thought, yeah, we want toot sweets, and so we'll go for sweet tea.
Sweet.
Which again is another classic line, and well spotted, Pamela, in terms of the sort of the French sort of incarnation of that. Pamela, what about your score?
A 10, and I have to qualify, but Dick Van Dyke did have this American accent that was just like from outer space, being that, there was no explanation of it at all. That was like, again, a heavy dose of suspended disbelief because it is kind of odd, right? Let's face it. But it's a 10. It doesn't matter. Like, it makes it even more charming, right?
And I think it's fair to say that even with the slight glitch where we had Lionel Jeffery's character referring to Her Majesty the Queen, which of course in 1908 would have actually been His Majesty the King, that minor glitch, historical sort of inaccuracy, but possibly in the world of this particular phantasmagorical affair, it was perfectly acceptable. Tessa, your score, please.
I think you all know it's a 10. I'm the same. It's one of them films. It's a childhood favorite, so has to be a 10.
Well, for a long, long time, I was kind of 9, 9.5, but I think actually this time I will actually succumb to peer pressure. And as it is the festive
Good.
season, I'll also go for a 10 for this particular one
Very
because it
generous.
is a phantasmagorical affair. And clearly we need to actually encounter and embrace Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. So for the moment, as we continue with the Anstract and the leaving songs and all the other magical numbers that have come through this particular Residents Rewind, the musical special. Thanks to Anna Koskinel, thanks to Tessa, thanks to Pamela Suman, and obviously Jessica Burtis. And thank you, dear listener, and inevitably, keep on resonating.
What do you seek, you people gazing at me? You see a doll on a music box that's wound by a key. How can you tell? I'm under a spell. I'm waiting for love's first kiss. You cannot see how much I long to be free. Music box that's wound by a key. Yearning, yearning. While I'm turning around and around, what do you see?
Scrumptious. You're truly, truly scrumptious, scrumptious as a cherry peach parfait. When you're near me, it's so delicious.
I'm waiting for
truly, you're the answer to my wishes.
You cannot see scrumptious, how much I
though
love
I
to
may
be
seem
free.
Presumptuous,
turning never, around never, on this music ever go box that's away. By a key.
My heart beats so unruly
yearning.
Because I love you truly,
while
honest, truly,
I'm turning
do.
Around and around.
Every bursted bubble has a glory.
Each abysmal failure makes a point.
Every glowing path that goes astray shows you how to find a better way.
So every time you stumble, never grumble.
Next time you'll bumble even less. For up from the ashes, up from the ashes, grow the roses of success. Grow the roses, grow the roses of success. Oh yes, grow the roses, those rosy roses. From the ashes of disaster, grow the roses of success.
Yes, I know, but he wants it to float.
It will.
For every big mistake you make, be grateful.
Yeah, yeah, that mistake you'll never make again.
No, sir. Every shiny dream that fades and dies generates the steam for two more tries.
Oh, there's magic in the wake of a fiasco.
Correct!
It gives you that chance to second guess.
Oh, yes!
Burn up from the ashes.
Up from the ashes. Grow the roses of success. Grow the roses. Grow the roses. Grow the roses of success. Grow the roses. Those rosy roses.
Disaster didn't stymie Louis Pasteur.
No, sir.
Edison took years to see the light.
Right.
Alexander Graham knew failure well. He took a lot of notes to ring that bell.
So when it gets distressing, it's a blessing. Onward and upward you must press. Yes, yes, till up from the ashes. Up from the ashes. Grow the roses of success.
Grow the roses.
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 Those rosy roses from the ashes of disaster. Grow the roses of success.
Start the engines.
Success.
Batten the hatches.
Success.
Man the shrouds. Lift the anchor.
Pretty chitty bang bang, chitty chitty bang bang, we love you.
And our pretty chitty bang bang, chitty chitty bang bang, loves us too.
High, low, anywhere we go, on chitty chitty we depend.
Bang bang, chitty chitty bang bang, our fine four-fended friend. Bang bang, chitty chitty bang bang, our fine four-fended friend.
It's uncategorical, a fuel-burning oracle, a phantasmagorical machine.
It's more than spectacular to use the vernacular.
It's wizard.
It's smashing.
It's key.
Oh, chitty, you chitty, pretty chitty, bang, bang, chitty, chitty, bang, bang, we love you. And chitty, in chitty, pretty chitty, bang, bang, chitty, chitty, bang, bang, what we'll do. Here, chitty, far, chitty, in a motor car, oh, what a happy time we'll spend. Bang, bang, chitty, chitty, bang, bang, our fine four-fended friend. Bang, bang, chitty, chitty, bang, bang, our fine four-fended friend. Chitty, bang, bang, chitty, chitty, bang, bang, fine four-fended chitty, chitty friend.